We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jesus Sanchez at the plate. A pitch. Deep drive to center field. Bellinger looks up. This is going to go. It's gone. Jesus Sanchez and the Marlins strike first. A solo shot to center. It's 1-0 Miami here in the second.
That was better. It's just tough with the results not being there. You know, it's a results-based game. So it's obviously not good on that end, but got to take the positives in the right direction. Just got to put it together here.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, and it's brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's going to be great. You heard Kyle Hendricks, the guy who gave up that monster home run. You know how you know it was a bad weekend, and as you put it earlier very well, that the Cubs lost a split with the Marlins in that series. You know it's a bad week when the Great Clip is the opponent hitting a home run.
Yeah, but did you see how far it traveled?
Well, it was extraordinary.
460 feet.
But I'm just saying, normally we would choose a good play by the Cubs.
The prodigious clip of the week.
There you go.
It was not so great for Kyle Hendricks, more of the same. He gave up 4 runs in 4 innings, and his ERA improved.
Great Clips, by the way, is great. So let's get that straight.
It definitely is great.
But, man, Kyle Hendricks, is that better? So you're saying his ERA improved, but, you know, coming out of that game and coming out of his performance?
I don't know how you frame that as improvement.
Exactly.
I don't know how you focus on, except for out of necessity, out of respect. I don't know how you look at what you saw and cite progress. Now, no. You're looking really hard to see signs, and early on he did have – you know, 1-2-3 inning. Or he struck out the side, I think, in 1 inning, and he did some other things that showed you that he still can, on occasion, recapture what was missing, but it's too inconsistent right now. Maybe he needs an enforced vacation. Maybe he needs something
A mystery illness. You know, his shoulders barking.
But as we said during all your well-played puns earlier, the professor may need a sabbatical.
There's nothing wrong. A good sabbatical can help you.
But as you pointed
out, educator.
Once he has tenure, it's hard to get rid of him.
That's their main issue.
It's difficult.
The committee chair has to get involved and bring
it. And it gets messy.
It gets really ugly. Let's try Aaron. Aaron is on the road. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, just wondering, with all these problems with Hendricks and our pitching, why haven't we reached out to Trevor Bauer, who said he would be willing to play for a minimum contract this year? And it looks like a lot of this stuff that he's accused of is coming up false, and he's being cleared of a lot of them. Just putting that out there.
Thanks, Aaron.
Aaron.
I know that repulses you, David.
Minimum contract, I have minimum interest.
Yeah.
I think repulse might be accurate. I think it's accurate.
Yeah.
I don't want to root for a team. I don't want to follow a team that has Trevor Bauer on it. And I think that, yes, you can look to what has happened in his accusations, but do you consider him a guy that what we know of high character, somebody you would want in your clubhouse, representing your organization?
Well, when Mike Clevenger comes up, then you may as well sign him too, because all bets are off, right?
When's he pitching?
It's got to be relatively soon. That'll turn everything around. He'll hit a couple of home. Andy is listening on the Odyssey app.
God. Hi, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, just funny, David, talking about his ERA being lowered. It was lowered to 12.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, everybody loves Kyle Hendricks, obviously. I mean, this guy's had an amazing career. But, you know, the reality is that I just don't think he's probably going to work out this season as a starter. You know, that one inning he did, you know, he shows little flashes, like David said, that third inning he struck out the side, then he comes in and then he gives up three runs in the fourth.
Yeah, so, four consecutive singles to open the fourth inning. And it was just, like, it wasn't competitive pitching.
No. So, you know, I don't know if maybe he could be moved to the bullpen, possibly, as a mop-up guy or something like that, but... You know, and then the other thing, too, obviously, you know, with a closing situation, my thought is, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but obviously at some point Steele is going to come back, which would be great. I think you got to have somebody in there that we have currently on our staff, if you can't make a trade, that's going to be able to fill that gap consistently. And the guy that comes to mind that's got the mental makeup and the stuff is Assad. I know he's been great as a starter. But, you know, I mean, that's such an important role. I just thought maybe he would be a good fit for that. What do you guys think?
Thanks for the phone call, Andy. I think a couple good points there. First of all, Assad, I would leave in the rotation until you have a surplus of starting pitching. And right now you don't because Kyle Hendricks is still in the rotation. So when Justin Steele comes back, and Justin Steele did pitch, I think, live batting practice on Sunday. He's ticketed to go to Arizona to maybe face some live hitting. Later this week, some game action, I think they described. Craig Counsell said that. If he's coming back within the next two turns of the rotation, maybe he replaces Hendricks, and I don't think you have to overreact and taking a side out. Ben Brown only got two innings this weekend. I think he's another guy that would be a strong under strong consideration for the rotation. So if you have Assad and Brown and Tyone and Shota, who was good again, and you add Justin Steele to that mix, there's five very good starters. And I didn't even mention Jordan Wicks. So then you have the opportunity maybe to use somebody in a swing role. Maybe Ben Brown stays in that swing role. But I don't know where Kyle Hendricks fits.
Well, he doesn't fit in the bullpen. I don't think he fits in the bullpen.
Really? Let me ask you about that, though, because I don't disagree, but let's talk this through.
Okay.
Look at Drew Smyly in his role. And I don't think he's necessarily filling it that well.
I don't think he fits in the bullpen well either.
You do need somebody to eat some innings. You need a guy who would come in and maybe adjust and adapt quicker than maybe you have seen from Smyly. But maybe is Kyle Hendricks your right-handed component to your Drew Smyly bulk inning guy
in
the bullpen?
I mean, here's the reality of it is Kyle Hendricks has never been an overwhelmer. He's never been a guy that overpowered anyone. In the course of his career, he is the thinking man's pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not locating, you're bringing a guy in who's a soft-throwing non-locator. I don't know how that works out of the bullpen. You know, I mean, let's just talk about the closer for a second.
Okay.
Who's the closer?
Well,
Edward Elzelay with four blown saves would not be my choice as closer.
I don't think that's a radical concept.
So is L. Leiter Jr. your closer right now?
I don't think.
Is Hector Neris finally your closer?
I really think that Hector Neris has got to establish himself as maybe the eighth inning guy better than he has, or maybe the seventh and eighth inning guy. I think that if I were Craig Counsell and I needed to save a game tomorrow when you get back on the field, I would try Keegan Thompson in that role. I would see.
He's awful young and awful inexperienced.
But I think you're now, it's an audition.
Yeah.
You got to see what you've got. If he's up here to get outs, and that is the big thing that Counsell continues to say, and this is who he is.
Yeah.
He's not going to look at traditional roles. He doesn't need a ninth inning guy. He doesn't need a seventh inning guy.
He could use a ninth inning guy.
Well, you would ideally like to see a Josh Hader emerge. You'd like to see a Devin Williams develop, but I don't know if that guy is on this roster. The closer that is going to win the key games for the Cubs down the stretch might not be here yet.
Or it could be Hector Neris. And instead of using him, they signed that guy. And I said to you when we came into the season, I said I thought he had a big role because I thought he was going to be their high leverage guy. And whatever inning that was, now I feel like they should save him for their high leverage end of game
could
guy.
Could be. I don't know if I would totally go there yet. It turns out that the Cubs, you know, you look at the way baseball has changed.
Yeah.
Their high leverage situations, more often than not, come up in the fifth inning. Can they have a starter go more than five? I mean, this is frustrating to see when
you've been building up, and now you got 16 straight games. Don't you have to have starters going more than five?
I think you have to with the tax of the bull that's going to be on the bullpen and how difficult that's going to be in terms of this stretch. Yes, but I don't know that you feel good about Alzolay in the ninth any longer. You need to give him some time to maybe regain the confidence that he clearly lacks. And I would try a guy who maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. Keegan Thompson has looked the part. He's throwing hard. And if you're just looking for out-getters, you're not looking for closers because you don't want to put that role on anybody or that title to anybody, Keegan Thompson, to me, is as good of an option as they have.
Last three outs of a game are the hardest to get. It doesn't matter whether you're looking for an out-getter. It's still a closer's role. I feel like Keegan Thompson's done great, and you want to keep him in the kind of high-leverage situations, but I don't want him thinking about this is the last three outs of the
game. Fair enough.
So I would go with someone who's done it before, which is either – I'd either go with Al Leiter Jr. maybe – and then see where you see what happens, or Hector Neris.
I think that I think those are good points. Not diminishing them, but I also think that you'd be looking for the best stuff in that point, in that situation. And if you're looking at the best stuff,
okay,
I would suggest two possibilities that might be season long experiments, or maybe one works and you can stick with it. I said Keegan Thompson. Ben Brown is intriguing to me because I think he could be used in a couple of different ways. He is. Hold on. Don't cringe when I say this.
But in
terms of stuff, in terms of potential, he's the Cubs equivalent of Michael Kopech because he has now in the rotation, but he's got electric stuff, and it does make you wonder if he's given the ball in the ninth inning, the way that he comes after hitters, if he could possibly excel in a closer role. Not that you want to put all that on a young rookie. Not that he just got here 5 minutes ago, but when you see him pitch and you wonder what his role is going to be, I don't know if you wouldn't at least try him there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I would not. I think he's too valuable in the role that he's in. And I also think you're asking a lot of a guy. I mean, listen, at some point, every closer is going to start being a closer. I just think that he's more valuable as a starter, and he's good enough to take up innings. And if you move him into a shorter role like that, I don't know that, you know, I just don't know how he responds to it mentally. And I just don't know how big kind of a difference that is from what he's been trained to do.
I agree.
I would leave him doing what he's doing.
But
because it's going so well.
What is he doing, though? Because if they're going to take him out of the rotation, what is he doing?
Well, they're not taking him out of the rotation because they got to take the professor out of the rotation.
But they haven't done that yet.
I think they're closer now.
If they go that route, I would clearly prefer that. I would clearly prefer them advancing him, promoting him to one of the five starters than I would seeing him tried as a closer. But if you're just going to use him as a bullpen piece, then I would prefer you leave the ninth inning to him to see what he's got. So if you keep him in Chicago and he's not going back to Iowa, let him start.
Let him
go every fifth day.
Listen, you got 16 straight games. I'd keep him in the starting rotation. Period, end of story.
I would too. And then when Justin Steele gets back, then you don't have to make a decision until you have to make a decision, and let's see where things stand. Because Shota is pitching lights out. Jameson Taillon had a great start on Friday.
That was
as encouraging of a thing that's happened over the weekend.
Yep. Let's try Marty. Marty's in Highland Park. Hey, Marty.
Hi, guys. I am a tenured professor, and I traded in a second for Kyle Hendricks' contract.
Well played.
But I think we should make him an emeritus professor. That's the way to deal with it.
Give him some office hours. Let him,
He's retired.
Let the TA teach any class you actually give him.
Put him in the booth. Let him watch and comment and oversee. I like that, Marty.
Exactly. There are ways to do this.
Yes. Gracefully.
That's so funny. Thanks, Marty. That's good stuff. He's right, though. I mean, you can't keep rolling Kyle Hendricks out there hoping for different.
It's hard to watch. It's results. Unfortunate, too, because everybody wants their favorite Cub or player on the team to kind of have a graceful exit, but this has not been graceful, and he's not competitive right now. And we saw that yesterday, and we've seen it too often. So I think you heard a little bit of it from Craig Counsell postgame about how this is not easy, but it's also not acceptable.
Right. Well, that's the reality of where they're at right now. I mean, it's not easy, and it's just not working out. It's not working out. It's Mark Leiter. I'm sorry. I called him Al.
Mark Leiter Jr.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like him as a closer either, or Al.
Al.
Or Al's son. Although I take Al's son. He's pretty good. Yeah. But I don't
These are different people.
These are all different Leiters.
That's right.
I don't know if I like Mark Leiter Jr. in the closer role, though.
I just don't like Adbert Alzolay in it. And I think that leaves you, if you're not willing to move Hector Neris out of the role that he has, then leaves you with Leiter Jr. I don't think it leaves you with Keegan Thompson, but, you know, feel free.
708 texter, DH, for the first time ever, I agree with you. Brown is your best bet for closer. First time ever?
See?
Wow.
I don't agree with that. I just think that's too much of a difference.
How about this suggestion over the weekend? Somebody mentioned this. We might have alluded to this on Friday. I forget which partner I'm talking to when talking baseball.
Oh, boy, here
Sorry.
We go. Yeah, get in trouble.
Do you think the Cubs and Sox would ever talk about a trade for Michael Kopech?
Oh, I mean, I hope so.
Do you? What would
you
it take?
You want that roller coaster?
Well, sometimes in the right hands.
Yeah.
What would it take to get Michael Kopech from the White Sox?
It'd be good for us.
Great for us.
Yeah, it'd be good for the
show. What do you think it would take?
Good, yeah, it's good for business.
What would it take to get Michael Kopech from the White Sox?
Oh, I don't think
from the Cubs.
Take all that much. Do you understand?
Ben Brown.
No way.
Well, that's
no way.
You know, I mean, Wesneski?
That was the proposal somebody mentioned over the weekend.
That sounds good.
Were you texting in?
No, okay. But that sounds good.
I don't.
Wouldn't you
and I said,
move?
I'm not sure that I would make that move if I'm the Cubs.
Oh, no. I'm saying
if you're
the Sox.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Michael Kopech, I'm not sure if you're following the whole program.
I am following the program.
Because God bless him. He's done okay and all, but he's also, you know, this is not a guy that is kind of locked down.
Consistency has eluded him.
Yes.
Yes. That's being kind.
Which is.
All right. So we mentioned another name, Hayden Wesneski.
He's got an amazing ability to throw the ball fast.
He does. Great velocity.
Yes.
Which you need in a closer. He's imposing. He looks the part. Just
okay.
Can't ever kind of grasp it. What about Wesneski in a closer role with that sweeper and that Wesnasty pitch? He's got I don't know. Does he have what it takes to be a closer? Would he be the guy you would trust in the ninth inning?
I think you need someone that either, I mean, think about the great closers. What separates them from everyone else?
Command.
Mentality.
Mentality, too.
You've got to have that. You got to be able to, you know, really live a pitch at a time in that role and not feel, and you know, feel like you are the dominant male here and you go out there and you, you know, do your goofy little bend over, stare down, and then throw the ball.
Mervis for Kopech. Who says no?
Mervis?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
No.
You don't want Mervis?
No.
Why?
Bush then.
No.
That could be good for both guys though, right? Change of scenery.
I think Matt Mervis could benefit from a change of scenery. I think if the Cubs trade for a closer, and they're going to have to at some point, I think Matt Mervis might be one of those guys you dangle.
Who's lining up for Matt Mervis?
Do you see what he's hitting? He's hitting almost as good
you
as
you said. You dangle him like that. That implies no Mervis.
He's
Mervis.
Almost as hot as Danny Mendick
he's
is. He's
got
at
a
AAA.
Great nickname. Quick.
Never nervous.
MASH.
MASH Mervis.
Yeah, the Sox need a MASH unit. I don't know that they need him.
Molly, speaking of Wrigley Field, Luke Bryan is returning to Wrigley Field this summer, part of the Mind of a Country Boy Tour 2024. Show is at the Friendly Confines Sunday, August 25th, and features special guests Bailey Zimmerman, Tracy Lawrence, and Chase Beckham. Tickets on sale now. We will give away two tickets later this show.
Excellent. That's a great show. And we're going to get to John Heyman next. Mully and Haw on the score.
MASH Mervis.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, curb your enthusiasm, enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I like the White Sox, but you never know with the Cubs.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend John Heyman, the New York Post, MLB Network, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline. John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
We are, we're betwixt and between because, you know, we want the Cubs to do well, and they had a couple of series wins, and then they come home against a Florida team that, frankly, hadn't started the season very well, and lo and behold, they end up losing a split, as David put it. It felt that way, a blown save, what's going on there, and then a Kyle Hendricks start, and God bless Kyle Hendricks, the professor, last man standing from the World Series team. When do you know when a guy has had enough, John? I mean, does he have to know? Does the team figure it out? How do you handle it when one of your veteran guys goes off?
Yeah, I don't think the player often knows. Even a professor, I don't think that the professor, any player will know. I think it's going to be the team judgment eventually. And, maybe he gets a few more starts. I'm not sure here. This was somewhat of an improvement, but, obviously overall it's not been good for the professor at this point, but, obviously he is a guy, the last man standing from the championship team, and maybe you give him a little extra rope, and, he obviously doesn't have to throw 95 miles an hour to do it, so, I think it's up to the team eventually to see and also to judge whether the replacement will actually be better. So it's not all about the player, but it's also about the replacement, the potential replacement.
Cubs have been down this road before as an organization, not with Craig Counsell, but with John Lester, Jake Arrieta, even going back, John Lackey. The end isn't always pretty, and it can be clumsy in terms of an exit. But I wonder, John, in today's Major League Baseball, where starters really, they go five, you're happy. Is there a spot, and how difficult would it be if Kyle Hendricks were to be moved to the bullpen? Does that make sense to you? Because the problem with Hendricks, one of the biggest ones, is the third time through the lineup. It's just he's not competitive. And I just wonder, could you envision that as being a spot, as a graceful kind of exit, or at least move him out of the rotation?
I mean, I guess that's a possibility. Certainly, I think that's a good point. The third time through the order is difficult for a lot of guys now, and they don't even let guys do the third time through the order. Maybe just have them start games with the expectation that four innings will be it. You know, I mean, obviously we have the opener now, so, I think their depth is pretty decent. I'm not sure that he goes to the bullpen. Maybe just lower the expectations for the starts. It's a difficult situation. As you mentioned, those are really good pitchers, and it is rarely an easy thing when you get toward the end of someone's career who's been a really good player for them, and he certainly has been that.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about the idea of figuring out the closer role, you know, Craig Counsell, apparently the hair on his neck goes up. He doesn't like talking about the closer role. He doesn't like acknowledging it, but it's a real thing. And when you have a closer that's given up home runs, that already has four blown saves as opposed to three and 25 chances a year ago, you got to acknowledge that maybe someone else needs to come in and get those last few outs. How do you handle that? And what are you looking for? How important is experience in that role?
Yeah, I'm not sure that experience is really the thing. I mean, it's really basically about stuff and ability. And, you know, I mean, sometimes you see rookies come in. I mean, K-Rod came in and he had no experience and came in and really was the key man in winning the World Series for the 2002 Angels, the only World Series they've ever won. So I don't know that it's experience. I think it's just about the, you know, the stuff that a guy has and the ability to get somebody out. And obviously, if somebody's got that mindset, because it is a different kind of role. It isn't like all the other relief. And I know there are people that think it's interchangeable, but it is not. So you have to have that mindset and the stuff, and that's it. I don't think it's about experience.
Out of obligation, John, I think we have to mention the White Sox. They're 3-18 on pace to win, you know, 24, 25 games. I know that won't be the case necessarily. I think I know that. But at what point do they consider change for the sake of change? We may have asked you this before, but is veering in the wrong direction still. Is Pedro Grifol going to last this season? Do you think the White Sox would gain anything by changing managers?
I'm not sure that they would. And I think they know that if they change managers, it doesn't mean they're going to go on a winning streak at this point, right? I mean, they're pretty bad. Sorry, Mully. But I don't think that the change in managers is going to mean that they're going to even start playing 500 ball or do anything drastically different. They're just not hitting. I mean, they got a 188 batting average, like a 550 OPS. They're just not competitive. That lineup is just not, does not have the ability to do it, particularly with the injuries that they've had between, obviously, Moncada, Robert. You know, you cannot do it with some teams can absorb two key injuries, but this is obviously one that cannot. You basically have the young and you have Sheets who are performing at least level. In fact, those two are beyond the normal level. But other guys, Vaughn and many other guys, you expect to do better, not even close to what you would hope for. And they're just overmatched. So I think if they felt it was the manager's fault, in this case, I don't think they could say it's the manager's fault. And if we change managers, we're going to start to play well. So I just don't see it. I think they're just so – they're such a bad team that it's hard to pin this on the manager, and I don't think that they will.
Yeah, I you know, and I understand that thinking, John. It's just – something has to change, and I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, for instance, and I'm not saying any of these people are any good, but you had a catcher that broke up a no-hitter, the Zach Wheeler no-hitter, and then he got a second hit in that game. And then the next day, you're back starting Martin Maldonado, who is batting like a .053 or so. I mean, I don't even – you can't even come up with numbers to describe how bad he's been. He's not necessarily framing the ball very well. I think he's at the bottom of all those statistics, and he can't throw anyone out. And he's 37 years old, and you're rewarding him for previous experience elsewhere. So you want him catching your young pitcher, but the guy can't even bat his own weight. I don't understand why you can't just try the other guy and just at least Corey Lee's like batting 200. It's mindless to me, John. Mindless.
Well, I do think that there is something to be said for going with the younger guys and to see what they can do now rather than to put a veteran in there all the time. You know, I think this was even a controversy with Dusty Baker using Maldonado all the time, and they had a lineup with Altuve. You know, before that with Correa, with Springer, with Bregman, Yordan Alvarez. And certainly they could afford a guy hitting at that time, you know, 150 or 180. They could afford it because he was very good with the pitchers and that he felt was the key. And even the Astros front office was against it. And Dusty just wanted to play him because it made the pitchers feel comfortable. In this case, I think there is something to be said for going with the younger guys and seeing what they can do for the team, because you're really playing for the future at this point. So I'm kind of with you, with the fans on that one. I don't see why Maldonado is playing as much as he is with this team. I got it with the Astros. He helped them win a World Series. He made those great pitchers feel comfortable. To me, I would say go with the younger guys with the White Sox. To play Maldonado to me makes little sense. I'm with you on that one.
This segment with John Heyman brought to you by Grainger, the official partner of the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley Field. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. John, I thought that we all had agreed that the Brewers are going to take a step back without Craig Counsell. Pat Murphy has them now 14-6 with as many victories as any team in the National League. How are they doing it?
It's amazing. I mean, it's not just without Craig Counsell. It's without Corbin Burnes, with the injury to Devin Williams, the injury to Garrett Mitchell, who's one of the fastest players in the league, if not the fastest. It's amazing. Churio, look, $82 million. They signed him before he played a game. So they knew, give them credit. They do a terrific job on a shoestring. It is really, really amazing. I mean, the manager makes some difference. I mean, if the manager makes a 2-win difference, that's pretty good. 2 WAR player is probably worth $15 million or whatever. So I get why the Cubs paid a lot of money for a great manager, but I got to give the credit to the front office. And I do think Murphy's the guy who was the mentor for Counsell. So it made sense to have him be the manager, and he's so far done a terrific job. And, their front office does a great job. And, you think you're training Burnes, you're really not playing for this year. And right now, I mean, they really dismantled the Cardinals, who are really, really in a bad way right now. And, but to be 14-6 at this point, with all the losses they've had, including the manager, just an amazing job in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's done phenomenally, and it's interesting to see how well they've done. The team that I don't get is Cleveland. They continue to play well. I watched some of that series against Boston, and man, and I know the Bo Sox go there next, but they handled them far too easily for my liking. Why are they so good right now? I know they're scoring a ton of runs.
Yeah, it's amazing. You wouldn't think that they would score a ton of runs. You wouldn't think they have the offense to do it. Obviously, right. We know Ramirez is very good. The Naylor has got some power. But, I mean, they've got all these guys like Kwan and guys who get on base. And, I mean, they're doing kind of old school with batting average, with stolen bases. And, I know a lot of people don't follow them, but they're really an exciting team right now. It's really shocking. And I saw that the new manager, Stephen Vogt, has the best winning percentage of any manager who's managed 5 games in his career. And I know it's early, but, they've been doing this forever. I know last year was a disappointment, but they often do somehow make the playoffs. You would think that the Twins would be better this year, and it's still time, obviously. And you think that the Tigers are on the cusp of something, and they've done okay so far, but I mean, the Guardians are a team that surprises, I wouldn't say every year, but many years. They've made the playoffs a lot with a team with basically Ramirez is the one guy who's a household name. Give them credit. And it looks like some of these new managers have really done a good job. I think Mendoza with the Mets has done a good job, and certainly Stephen Vogt with the Guardians has done a really good job.
Great stuff, John. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, John.
All right. Good luck, guys. Hang in there, Mully.
Yeah.
It'll get better. It can't get worse.
It can't get worse. For God's sake.
That's true.
We want to remind everyone, join the Score and Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern on Navy Pier for the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey. Parkins and Spiegel will be there, and they'll be broadcasting live from 4 to 7 p.m. with actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. You'll also get a chance to register to win tickets to future Cubs home game. And the worldwide toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Great event. Looking forward to that. Also was cool to see Ryan Sandberg back at Wrigley Field over the weekend. They commented during the broadcast, he looks good for somebody going through what he is.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, we had seen him in a hospital bed on Twitter, so it's good to see him up and running and out and about and all that. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks. It is what it is, but you can't look back. I've been in this game a long time, and I've seen streaks like this. I've been a part of them too, but I've been a part of the other side as well. And the 17 and threes and the 20 and fives, and you know, I've been a part of those too, and those were fun. Those were really fun. And you know, why can't we have one of those? We just got to continue to go out, you know, get to the ballpark, get our work done, and go out and play the best that we can, and leave it all on the field and see what happens and improve on it from there.
Molly and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. That is Pedro Grifol after the latest White Sox loss, getting swept in Philadelphia. Not to quibble, but when Pedro says that he's been in the game a long time and he's seen it before, no, you haven't. Nobody has, unless you were watching baseball before 1901. This is what's happened for the first 17 games of the White Sox season. I know we're 19 games in, okay? So let's go. Okay, they're 3-7. This is the stat. They were shut out for the seventh time in 19 games. There's only one team since 1901 that was shut out seven times in the first 19 games. And that is this year's Chicago White Sox. So you really haven't seen what we have seen this season. They are historically bad. And that's why, you know, at some point, if you're just kind of, you know, you're irrelevant and you're mediocre and you don't want to watch, the White Sox are demanding you watch them to see how far they can fall.
Mm.
They are historically bad.
They're hard to watch. It's very difficult. I watch out of a sense of responsibility because of our job, but it's not worth watching. It's a waste of your time. They're terrible.
They're 3-18 now, and it is the worst start in franchise history. You can do the math at what they're on pace for.
Yeah,
they're being compared to the 62 Mets as far as the worst team in baseball history, the worst record ever. The 2003 Tigers have come up. You look at all the lists, and there are teams that are in 50. If teams have gotten off to this bad of a start, they don't win more than 65 games. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, but this team doesn't look like one. I don't know where they're going to get the runs from. Their pitching has been mediocre. Is there a best part about this team?
Well, that's what I was going to say. What is it that they do well? You know, we heard in training camp that they were going to the team that was put together, like Chris Getz didn't like last year's team. I don't think anyone did. They were unlikable. These guys are unplayable. I mean, this is
unwatchable.
They're unwatchable. They're just what happened to FAST? I don't even know what the acronym means.
Well, season was over fast.
Well, the season ended fast.
Okay.
It was really quick. A great motto. We're going to play fast. They kick the ball around. There's no fundamental sound defense. This was one of the things that was promised. They were going to lose differently. They've got no pop.
Let's look at an example.
Top to bottom.
What you just said. Lenine Sosa.
Well, I mean, he's not hitting.
The failed rundown. Then Benintendi yesterday overthrows the cutoff man. You're giving up extra bases when you don't need to. When you talk about needing to lose cleanly, which was the original goal, you're going to lose. You're not going to be very good. You have a challenged roster, but at least you can do it with and look fundamentally sound. They're not that. They're not fundamentally sound.
Mm.
They're making mental errors. You can understand the physical ones, and I don't know that it's going to change anytime soon. There's no help on the way, and it's just demoralizing if you're a Sox fan to look at this and say, okay, what's next? I don't know how it gets better, and you wonder how bad it can get. You wonder what can change. You change managers, that will be a story for a day two.
But why is the manager still the manager? Because they owe him money was the explanation. why is he still managing the White Sox? He hasn't done a bloody thing. I guess you could say, well, they don't want to blame him because it isn't his fault. In other words, anybody would struggle with this.
Anybody probably would.
But maybe somebody would try something different.
Yeah, I think that you can make the argument that changing managers and change for the sake of change at this stage is appropriate. You could also make the argument if you are, you know, one of the few Pedro Grifol maybe defenders, that you're right. That with this roster, there's no way that the best manager in baseball could win more than they lose. They're just losing in ways that are just real embarrassing and just look like they just don't know. They're not playing sound baseball.
You know, the problem is, I mean, honestly, if you're actually looking at it and what change could change things, right? Changing the manager wouldn't matter. Changing the general manager, they just did that.
They just did that.
Doesn't look like that's going to matter.
That seldom makes
changing
a difference.
Changing the owner.
Yeah, that would be biggest.
And seriously, that's who deserves.
Change.
That's who.
Sell the team.
That's what the only solution.
Sell the team. Do everyone a favor.
You're not into it to be competitive. You're into it because you're bored, right? You just have nothing else going on, so you want to be the you know, leader, owner of a franchise.
The most exciting offseason story was the 78 being floated as a possibility as a new home for the White Sox. The more we dig into that story, not even that can be one you feel good about because of where the money is coming from. It was linked to an Iraqi billionaire, which makes you feel a little bit skittish about the whole prospect. Sell the team, and then we'll feel better and excited about something headed in the right direction.
There's very little to hang your hat on to feel good about. That's just the reality of it. When's Colson Montgomery coming? I don't even hear that.
I don't even know that.
I don't think anyone really.
I don't know. You know when the White Sox will make an announcement on Pedro Grifol's future, probably when the Bears are on the clock Thursday night at 6:15. You could see the White Sox issuing a press release. Pedro Grifol has been relieved of his duties. That would be so White Sox.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be perfect timing. It'd be the right thing to do. No one would notice.
A collective shrug. Care.
No one would respond.
What does Caleb Williams think?
That's all anyone really cares about right now. All right, we're going to get to KC Johnson. We will talk about the demise of the Bulls and the changes that are coming, if you can consider them changes. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.